Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. So before we begin the show, I wanted to take a quick moment to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description and begin your journey making the switch to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company who shares your value system and doesn't funnel your money directly into evil operations that are designed to destroy us. This company is backed by the Better Business Bureau and has a retention rate of well over 90% for a reason. Once folks make the switch, they discover the quality and customer service and overall perks are far too incredible to walk away from. And a vast majority of folks never set foot inside Walmart or Target again to purchase the items that they need in order to keep their lives going and to support their families. So if you make the switch, you can rest assured that your hard-earned money is going to people and causes that are aligned with our overall mission to defeat the cabal and remove their economic stranglehold along with their illusion of choice, which is nothing more than a mirage inside this matrix. Make the switch today, folks. Don't wait. Now is the time we need to band together and make history, because if we do nothing, then we continue tacitly agreeing to our money being used for nefarious purposes. So really, the choice is yours. Would you rather purchase items that you need from patriots or from demons? I think the answer is quite clear for everybody in this audience. This is a no-brainer, folks. I made the switch and I couldn't be happier. And as I said, I only come out and support something that I personally use and believe in. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is December 6th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So I'm going to provide a situation analysis report tonight. I'm going to talk about some recent developments, and I'm going to give you my take on where I think we are right now. And hopefully you folks will resonate with my perspective, as so many of you typically do. So thank you again. Hopefully you folks are having a good start to your week amidst all of this craziness. And certainly, it is the best of times and the worst of times. As I've said before, there are so many things to celebrate, and yet at the same time, there are just so many things that leave us scratching our head with every passing day. And honestly, from the perspective of an American looking to the south of the border and seeing what's happening in Brazil, I have to tell you, it does raise an awful lot of questions as to what the White Hat Military Alliance is planning for the United States. Now, we're looking over there and we're seeing the military, up until this point, do all the right things. And just today it came out that they went into the favelas, which are the basically like the very low income project areas in Rio de Janeiro, and they had a mission to capture or kill the cartel leaders there. And folks may remember that I've talked about on previous podcasts that these cartels are high-value military targets. And it seems like the Brazilian military is taking it upon themselves to remove the head of the snake of the cartels as obstacles that would be really detrimental, shall we say, to full-scale military intervention. Because these cartel leaders there control absolutely everything. And quite honestly, when we say cartel, we might as well just replace it with cabal. They're more or less synonymous because it's all different branches of the same rotten tree. Now, the Gateway Pundit came out with a great article on this topic, and they were getting into how these drug cartels are really the armed wing of the Communist Party. Now, it's talking specifically about Rio de Janeiro. Comando Vermelho, which I do believe is the name of the cartel, controls vast parts of Rio. And of course, they control, all of the drug trafficking and the human trafficking and all of the evil that goes on most prevalently inside these favelas. Now, back in 1979, an alliance was made between the cartels and the Communist Party within Brazil. And so there is a direct threat there to civil war that they are trying to eliminate, because if they eliminate all of these high-value cartel targets, if they can take down the cartel leadership, they dramatically reduce the risk of civil war. And so, as I say, it certainly appears as if the Brazilian military is actively standing up and supporting their people. And a lot of people are looking at this all over the world, and of course, we are applauding the Brazilian people. I mean, the way that they took to the streets in unity was absolutely amazing. However, that's not to suggest that there is not some division within that country. And so it raises some interesting questions that I'm going to explore tonight, because, again, people are looking at this, let's just say here in America, and they're saying, well, bravo, can we get on with it here in America? Can we get on with it worldwide? Can we have the rest of the military respond in a similar way? How many elections do we have to have stolen? How many pandemics do we have to have inflicted upon us? How much tyranny do we have to have placed upon our shoulders? And yes, it is on our shoulders primarily as awakened patriots, because we are the targets. As long as this pantomime, as long as this show goes on, whether it's real tyranny or whether it's simulated, regardless of what your specific view is, the reality is that we are the ones who are suffering the most. And so we're looking at this and we're saying, well, that is exactly what needs to happen everywhere else. So why is it not happening here in America? Why are we still looking to other countries in the world and admiring what's going on there, but somehow incapable of making it happen here in America? Now, this is a complicated topic, and I totally understand and respect that people have a bunch of different views on this, and they're not all going to align with mine. And quite honestly, I'm not really even 100% decided on a lot of these unanswered questions, but we're exploring them as questions together. But when we look at this and we say, well, what is the main difference? It brings to mind January 6th. Now, there are a lot of people out there, insiders, influencers, who are saying Americans need to do more. We need to get more active. We need to take to the streets. We need to basically follow the example of what happened in Brazil and other countries as well, by the way. There have been many, many examples that we've seen along the way, but it's really, for the most part, taken place outside of the United States. However, we can't forget January 6th. We can't forget what happened when the largest group of Americans in history descended on Washington, D.C. peacefully. The end result of that was a melee. Yes, it was a false flag. Yes, it was planned. But the end result of that is that innocent Americans are still imprisoned in some D.C. dungeon under some of the most horrific conditions that we can imagine. And so knowing that, and knowing that there still hasn't been any justice for these people, at least not to my knowledge, they're still rotting away. There are a lot of Americans out there who are probably going to think twice before they hit the streets, before they get themselves involved in some sort of false flag scenario trap, because that's the other thing. We're expecting false flags as well, because a lot of good things are happening in terms of disclosure. I mean, Elon Musk is forcing the Hunter Biden laptop into the spotlight. He's forcing the fact that big tech, specifically Twitter, completely swayed the results of the election and was colluding with the government. All of this stuff is coming into the spotlight. We've got the Brunson case, which I may touch upon in a little bit. But there are a lot of dominoes that are starting to fall. So yes, it seems like this would be a prime time for the deep state to pull a false flag of some sort. Now, we don't know what that's going to be. I mean, the possibilities are endless, but none of us want to walk into that trap, because we know that they want to make us the Trump Republicans, the MAGA Americans, the ones that Merrick Garland's Department of Justice has already labeled domestic violent extremists, the last thing that we want to do is walk into that trap. So what then can patriots do? Because we're being told the white hats are listening, they're monitoring where we are emotionally, spiritually, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly as a part of that monitoring, they must be getting the sense that people are at their wit's end. People are losing patience. And the dangerous part about that is when you lose patience, you get closer to losing trust. And if that ever did happen, then we have a real problem. Now, let me once again state for probably the millionth time, I have not lost trust. I have not lost faith. In fact, I haven't even lost patience. However, I am taking more seriously the impatience that I'm sensing in the American people, in the awakened patriot community. And for good reason. Because this entire plan depends upon not only the participation of we the people, but ultimately at a far deeper level, the alignment, the spiritual alignment and trust, and ultimately love of the American people for this plan and what it's doing. Now, that's a complex topic because on the one hand, I can say speaking for myself and probably a vast majority of my audience, we literally thank God on a daily basis for this Q operation, for this plan to save the world, to save the children, to be able to create a better world for all of our progeny out into the future for thousands of years. I literally, on my knees, thank the good Lord above for that every single day. And yet, at the same time, I also believe that as a patriot, as an awakened individual, as all of you are, we need to be more vocal about what this experience is like for us, what it's doing to us, and asking questions that need to be answered. So what can we do? What more can we do at this point in order to advance this timeline, to be more like Brazil? What is it going to take to get the White Hats to step up? And as Kid Rock says, he's still waiting for the U.S. military to protect the people from treason. And he's absolutely right. And all of us are. So there are these amazing things that are happening, and we recognize that the disclosure is happening. That's undeniable. But at the same time, we have to ask this question, especially now that information is coming out about where the plan, where the White Hats may want to take this thing next. Now, obviously, there's an enormous amount of fog of war, and anything is possible. I mean, something could happen by the time I'm done recording. Something could happen tomorrow, next week. We don't know. But in terms of where we see them taking this plan, I do think that we have a responsibility to be more vocal and to say, you guys need to answer some questions. You need to clear up. Obviously, there are certain things that for operational security and for all those types of reasons, you could never reveal to the general public. But I'm finding myself more inclined to agree with Kerry that the White Hats need to do a better job at communicating where they plan on taking this. Because now that news is starting to seep out that we could be looking at another pandemic or plandemic, I should say, and I touched upon this the other day that SG was talking about this, and I do believe there have been others as well. And it seems as if there may be this desire to move the plan in that direction and to have, in order to achieve a more organic awakening, to put us through a COVID part two. And I got to tell you, when I heard that, it was extremely distressing to me. I mean, as it should be to everybody out there. And to think about what we had to endure to get through it the first time, and the fact that it's still not even over yet. I mean, you still see people walking around with a mask on their face when they're not being told to. That's even worse. It's unbelievable. Now, you don't see it as much, but you still see it. And when I look around, I don't see a whole bunch of people that are just chomping at the bit to defy tyranny. I see, for the most part, sheep-like people who are just going to comply with whatever they're told to do. Now, obviously, I live in a certain area that skews my perception. I have talked about that before. I live in a completely captured operation. But I don't think that my experience is that unlike most of the people that I communicate with in my audience who are from all over the world. There are some areas that are far more awake than others. I grant you that. But when you really think about it, what positives came out of the COVID pandemic? Well, I suppose in terms of beginning the disclosure process, a lot of good things came out of it and will continue to. But in terms of the awakening of the people, because that's a key part of this plan. It's not just about disclosure, because if that's all it were about, they could have just let off with that. We could have been done by now. But we're hearing more and more that the people aren't ready yet. Elevation of the general consciousness of the public isn't where it needs to be in order for full disclosure to take place. Okay, but then we have to look and we have to examine the plandemic of COVID. Did it actually awaken a whole bunch of people? Well, I think it did awaken a lot of people, but it also killed a lot of people. It also ruined a whole bunch of lives. But what did this whole experience, what was the end result of it? Did we come out of it with a far more enlightened and awakened population? I suppose in some ways you might be able to make that argument. However, what I saw for the most part during the pandemic was I saw people side with tyranny. I saw people displaying the absolute worst qualities of humanity. And yeah, a lot of people along the way, I'm sure, they pulled their head out of their ass and they woke up. But what it took for us to get there and the price that we're still paying, because I don't think that our society has gone back to normal in any way, shape, or form. And so if they put us through this again, you have to ask yourself, are people actually going to wake up? Is it going to wake up more sleepers? Or are they just going to put their masks back on? Or are they going to line up again for the next round of vaccines and boosters? Do we really have the awakened population that's going to defy this tyranny? Or is it just going to more or less be a replay of what it was last time? You see, folks, I'm not necessarily convinced that if we go through this whole process again, that it's going to end up in the mass awakening of the population. It didn't do it the first time. Not to mention the fact that we've had so much information come out since then about how deadly the vaccine is, about how the virus itself has never actually been isolated and doesn't even really exist, and all of the deadly ingredients inside of that transhumanist death shot. No matter what you tell people, as long as the mainstream media is in place, they're not going to believe you. It doesn't matter how many people die. It doesn't matter how much truth you put directly in front of their face, because if the mainstream media is there to deceive them, to offer them another explanation, no matter how ludicrous it is, they're going to believe it. And you know, it's an interesting question, because when you ask yourself, you know, how many people really are awake? You know, how far along are we? And as you guys know, I mean, I've been asking my guests, my insiders, the people who come on, that question for months, for over a year. Well over a year, I've been asking that question. And generally speaking, the response that I've gotten and the response that I've heard from other sources of information is that people are continually waking up. And yet, for me, I still have this fundamental problem, because it's very, very difficult for me to see that play out. I don't really see more people waking up. And again, because I'm only one person, I'm always interested in hearing the perspective of others. Just, you know, not other influencers, not other truthers, not other insiders, but actual, just ordinary people like myself, their perspective. And again, these are people all over the country, all over the world. And I've yet to have my inbox being bombarded with emails telling me that people are waking up with all these success stories about light bulbs going off in people's heads. And so on the one hand, it's like all the statistics are pointing to this awakening that less and less people are trusting the mainstream media. And I've talked about all these. I mean, months ago, I was talking about how 75% of the people, they were saying at that point in time, don't trust the mainstream media. And I was like, well, hallelujah. But then when you walk outside your house and you observe the general behavior of people and you listen to what people are talking about, because, you know, the white hats, they can monitor whatever they want to monitor and they're going to, but it's not like we don't monitor the awakening in our own personal lives. Every single day, all of us are looking for evidence that more people are awake. And so it's like, okay, all of these polls are coming out and statistics are coming out that are suggesting one thing, and yet it seems as if in our own personal lives and our own anecdotal experiences are telling a different story. Now, I talked about the other day, it could very well be that a lot of people are in the beginning stages, and because of that, they're not actually verbalizing anything yet. They're in the, oh crap, I'm confused phase. The, oh, this doesn't really make sense phase, or it's starting to not make sense, or it's increasingly not making sense, but they're still inside of their heads. And that, I think, in a lot of ways could account for some of that disconnect that I was talking about between the statistics, what people will tell or admit to in private versus what they'll say in public. But that's just speculation. I mean, the reality of the matter is that I don't think that there are many people out there that would argue that we have an awakened population as the result of going through this insanity over the past couple of years. Yeah, it's woken up a lot of people. I understand. I'm not here to say that it hasn't. But what I'm suggesting here is there does seem to be some kind of a disconnect in terms of how this is playing out in our daily lives. And if we're talking about having to go through this whole process again, propaganda, lies from the mainstream media, lockdowns, mandates. I mean, if they're really going to gear this whole thing up again, I mean, a lot of people out there are saying that'll, you know, cause a civil war. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But if they gear this whole thing up again, forget about the shitstorm that it's going to be. On the other side of that, after all of the loss that'll be associated with that on so many different levels, will we have actually woken up enough people in our population to justify that? And I think that is a very realistic and legitimate question. And as a patriot, quite frankly, I believe that our responsibility is to question our leaders, is to question the direction that they want to take this thing, and to make it very clear what we will and what we will not put up with. And that's not to suggest that, you know, we're in the driver's seat in terms of what they decide to allow and what they don't, but we just have to start pushing back a little bit more in a logical perspective. We have to recognize that we have a seat at the table and we have to get more vocal about this and say that if this is the direction that they intend to go down, that it's not enough to just simply say, oh, it's just going to wake up a bunch of people. Because I think a lot of us are looking at that and sincerely questioning whether or not that's the case. And Carrie Cassidy, you know, she did a really brilliant job in breaking it all down. And she also touched upon, I think, a very fundamental issue as well, which is at what point in time are they going to stop listening to the AI? Are they going to stop letting the computer make the decisions and having faith and believing in humanity? Because to be honest with you, folks, I genuinely wonder if there's ever going to come a time when the scenario is going to line up just right, where everything, all of this, all of the elements, all of the variables are going to be just perfect, and then the military will step in. I'm not convinced that that's the case. Because you can't really argue that, you know, war is messy and war is unpredictable and it's a fluid situation, but then at the same time, argue that you're waiting for the exact perfect moment to strike. Now, don't get me wrong. I completely understand what 107 means when he says it's not ready, fire, aim. It's ready, aim, fire. I get that. But we've been aiming for quite some time now. And the question, I think, on a lot of folks' minds is, you know, at what point in time do you have to just squeeze that trigger in faith and leave the AI by the wayside and understand that what this is really about is the awakening of humanity. This is about the ascension of humanity. And because of that, that requires you to have belief and faith that the people, once they're provided the truth, will actually rise to the occasion, will actually make the right decisions. Now, obviously, we're talking about truly shocking information. We're talking about stuff that's just so dark that a lot of people, like I've said before, they're not going to be able to take it, no matter what. I mean, there are certain realities, there are some people out there who just aren't going to be able to adjust. But I do believe that the vast majority of humanity will adjust and will embrace the truth and will reverse course, even, you know, for the people out there who think they're on the winning team. It's not that they're bad people. I mean, sure, some of them are, but it's not that they're bad people. They're locked inside of this MKUltra program because the MSM is still there. And for whatever reason, you know, God didn't bless them by tapping them on the shoulder and whispering in their ear and saying, hey, pay attention. Hey, this isn't right. Hey, look into this the way he did for all of us. But that doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're out there thinking that they're doing the right thing because they're being fed constant lies, constant deception. So it's like Julian Assange says, if wars can be started by lies, then peace can be started by truth. But you can't have the truth come out. You can never get there as long as you've got the mainstream media in place. And throughout this whole two-year period, we've been very patient, and we'll continue to be. I'm not suggesting that my patience is up and that I'm done or anything. No, no, I'm not going there. I'm just simply saying, I'm pointing out what seems to me to just be irrefutable facts and logic. I mean, for 2 years, we've been very, very patient. We've educated ourselves. We've dedicated ourselves. We put everything in our lives, some of us, on the line. We've sacrificed an enormous amount. And at this stage of the game, I think all of us have the right to ask these types of questions and to raise discontent. Because if we don't, if we're not critical of the white hats, who's going to be? And that's not to spread negativity or anything, because I know that some people are going to criticize what I'm saying right now, and they're going to say that, you know, I'm changing my narrative and I'm introducing negative energy and all these types of things. You know, people are going to say what they're going to say, and that's fine. That's one thing that I've learned on this journey is that no matter what I say, no matter how clear I make things, people are going to twist things out of context. They're going to say things and associate me with saying things that I never said, or my motivations and my intentions where they've never been. And so people are going to do that. That's fine. But I happen to believe that it's incumbent upon us as patriots to hold our leaders accountable and to start asking these questions and to start demanding more information and more answers as time moves on. We understand certain aspects of this plan, and we're on board with it. I mean, the simple reality is that all of us have trust and belief in our military and belief in the alliance, and we still do. And it's not going anywhere, but being critical does not necessarily mean that you don't have trust. It's trust but verify. We're entitled to know certain aspects of this plan if we are such a crucial part of it. Now, that's not to suggest that the White Hats should just put all their battle plans out there and let us examine them and debate them in public. No. But, you know, when certain intel gets floated that points in a certain direction that we don't like, like I said, I think it's our responsibility to make that clear. And obviously, like I said before, there's an enormous amount of positive stuff that's happening. But when we look to Brazil and we see what's happening there versus happening here in America, there's a pretty big disconnect there. All of us understand and believe, and I think it's pretty obvious, it's provable, that we are in a military occupation, a military sting operation is ongoing. Because there's really no other explanation. I mean, if you look at all of the intel that Derek Johnson has put out there, and Patel Patriot, and SG, and you know a lot of these just great insiders and anons, they put all this stuff out there to prove to us that this is, in fact, what's going on. So we understand. My faith is absolute that we are in a military sting operation, and that we are in a scenario where the white hats are in control. That's not what I'm questioning. What I'm questioning is the overall approach and how much more of this they're going to put the American people and the people of the world through. Because quite frankly, not everybody shares my level of trust. Not everybody shares, you know, my passion to stay in this battle and to, you know, to commit my life to it if necessary. Not everybody has the same amount of patience. So they have to be taking this into account. And I can remember a very long time ago, and I'm not going to mention any specific names, but I can remember listening to insiders that I talk about all the time, a year ago even, saying that at a certain point, the alliance, the military, have to make their move, and they have to understand that they can only push us so far. So this is not like it's a new sentiment. This is a sentiment that's been there, that in so many ways, I think we've kind of, you know, we've put it on the back burner. And we've allowed time to go by. But as time goes by, it's undeniable that it's still on that burner, even though the flame is lower. It's still heating up. It's still being brought to a boil. And if the objective has been to avoid violence this entire time, to avoid civil war, as I believe it has, then I happen to think that now is the time where we need bare minimum to have more transparency. But I think it's high time that we start asserting ourselves more as patriots, asserting ourselves into the conversation and saying, you know what? We're not going to just simply listen to all of this information and intel that comes out and not react to it and not ask questions about it and not challenge it. I mean, folks, if they're using this AI, which we believe that they are, to war game everything out, to map it all out, I'm not here to throw the AI under the bus and say it's a bad thing. It's probably gotten us to this point in this war. But in order to take us across the finish line, it's going to require faith in humanity. And I just wonder about, you know, this idea that subjecting people to more trauma, to more tyranny, to more lockdowns, to more vaccine mandates, to more, you know, suicides and loss of jobs and loss of income and loss of relationships. You know, I get passionate about it too. We've all lost something in this war, folks, but you know, I hear from people all the time, whether it's in the comments, and I'm sorry, I can't respond to all of them. I can't respond to all the emails that I get, but I hear from people and I read all of the correspondence I get, how much people have lost along the way. Relationships with family, relationships with children. We have a right and we have an obligation and we have a duty to speak up and to say no more. Because honestly, folks, I kind of fell into this pattern of not wanting to criticize the plan because I didn't want to be branded as, you know, being against the plan or being some, you know, what do they call it? Controlled opposition. All right, which I, you know, people could accuse me of that. I think it's hysterical. If you guys knew how I spent most of my time, I mean, it's just, I'm just an ordinary guy. And, you know, you get accused of all of these things. But again, I was afraid that I was going to be, you know, have all these labels attached to me just for being critical about this overall plan and where it's headed and so on and so forth. And I talk all the time about our emotional state and what we're going through and what it's been like to navigate through this whole thing. But you rarely hear me being critical of the White Hats. And again, it's not criticism just for criticism's sake. And it's not an attempt to try to cause any division in the community. But rather, it's to empower we the people to say, yes, we're all a part of this plan. And it's not clearly just the White Hats at this point unilaterally making these types of decisions based upon military objectives. We're being told over and over and over that they're waiting for us. They're waiting for the people. So it's a legitimate question then for the people to say, okay, what more can we do? And that's always a great question, by the way. And I'm sure that question itself led to the Brunson brothers bringing this case to the Supreme Court, which is yet another thing that's very encouraging. Now, I happen to think that it's a little bit strange that they decided to kick the can to January 6th. And in certain ways, it kind of calls into question what their motives might be. And I'm going to save that conversation for another day, probably very soon. But it's possible that we could see a very favorable ruling on this that could completely change the world. This is not what I'm suggesting. None of this stuff is bad. All of this is the good stuff that's happening. But for all of us, just ordinary folks who are having to, you know, we're in the trenches here. You know, we're living inside of this matrix. We're doing the very best we can to keep our heads above water. And we start hearing about this idea that they want to take us into another lockdown and they're going to allow a release of another pathogen. I mean, folks, we got to start asking questions. We got to start saying, hell no. Because what is that really going to accomplish? And what evidence do you have to really support it? If you think that that's going to wake up a vast majority of people out there, if you think that that cost-benefit ratio is a favorable one, then okay, prove it. Because I don't really see the end result of another lockdown. I mean, who knows? Maybe if they try to initiate another lockdown and they get really draconian with all of their mandates and dictates, that'll bring the military out of the shadows. But again, folks, it's speculative. We don't know. And because we don't know, and we have to continue to live in this world until that day comes, whenever it is, whether it's today, tomorrow, or a year from now, or 2 years from now, I mean, we don't know. But if we're a part of this plan, and we're as important as they say, which I do believe we are, then I think we have to start being more vocal. I think there have to be, people have to feel, I think, more emboldened to stand up and to say, this is it. We're not going down this road. We don't want to go down this road. Now, if they force us down this path and they lose more patriots in the process, they lose more trust in the process, and I understand the ending is not for everyone. And regardless, folks, I'm here to commit myself once again. I'm here for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. If I'm right about certain things, great. If I'm wrong about certain things, that's great. But the point is that I'm all about victory for humanity. That's what I stand for. That's what I'm committed to. But I'm also not just going to sit here and bite my tongue when I hear things that don't make sense to me. And Lord knows there have been a whole bunch of scenarios throughout this entire process that has fallen into that category of not making sense to us. And I think that's a big part of the reason that people are feeling the way they're feeling right now. That's a big part of why people are so angry. You know, we're the ones, as Kerry says, that the White Hats are fighting for, primarily. Yes, it's for all of humanity. We understand that. But it's for awakened humanity first and foremost. They're on our side. And we have been subjected to absolute hell. And if they're talking about subjecting us to more, now again, I'm not here to compare it with other people's traumas. Certainly, I've talked many, many times about how lucky we are that this has been a non-kinetic war. So don't get me wrong, but that's also not to suggest that we haven't been through the ringer. And we have a responsibility moving forward to make ourselves known. And the first time around with the pandemic, like I said, it made sense to go through the process. We understood why it was necessary at the time. We came to understand Operation Warp Speed. And the whole point of it being undertaken was to prevent us from going into a multi-year lockdown, a mandatory vaccine situation. So we accepted that that was the lesser of two evils and that it had to go down that way. And we also had to allow the enemy to reveal their depopulation agenda. And we believed that with the passing of time, that enough irrefutable evidence would come out about the jab that would result in the overwhelming consensus amongst the population that the establishment, the government, the media, academia, the medical industry was actually looking out for our best interest. Or I should say, not looking out for our best interest. We thought that that would be the end result. Or at least I did. We thought that the correlation between the shot and the mass deaths all over the world would be sufficient to shift consciousness on this issue. And like I said, for many people it did. But sadly, it appears as if, especially if they're arguing that we have to go through it again, that the pandemic was not successful overall in awakening the masses to the true intention of the cabal. And so if they do it all over again, is there really going to be a different result this time? Because the reality is, to this day, most people haven't even heard of the word cabal. Or if they have heard of it, they still think it's a conspiracy theory. And so there seems to be a repetitive message being given to we the people. And that seems to be that either we're not doing enough, or that the overall population just isn't there yet. Not enough people know what's going on, like Trump said. That we haven't arrived yet at a consensus point. And like I said before, this is where the conversation splits into different ideologies in terms of how we get there. And I'm willing to have those conversations. I'm willing to admit that I don't know the answers necessarily, but I happen to believe that if you present the people with the truth, if you eliminate the mainstream media, you take away the enemy mouthpiece, and you present the population with the truth, it's going to be messy no matter what you do. And I understand that they're trying to mitigate this thing and war game this thing out to prevent any unnecessary loss of life, any further tragedy. I get it. But we have to start asking the question, at what cost and how long can this go on? The trust of the patriots is absolutely critical. And for a long time, a lot of us thought, myself included, obviously, that we were going to have a major shock event. And we still may. That's the thing. We still might have a major shock event. Something could happen tomorrow that could render this entire podcast obsolete or irrelevant. But given where we are right now, December 6, 2022, I think we can have this conversation and we could point out that we had expected that there was going to be, prior to the midterms, a major shock event that was going to, in essence, force the public to acknowledge the truth. And that, to me, makes sense. Doesn't mean that I want to go through it, necessarily. It doesn't mean that I don't think it's going to be scary and all the things that we've talked about, but necessary, perhaps, and ultimately, it makes sense. Because if you eliminate the mainstream media, you initiate the emergency broadcast system, you have the military step forward, reveal what's been going on, reveal that we're at war. Yes, it's going to be messy. But regardless of how long this goes on, I mean, they could drag this thing out for years and years. At the end of the day, it's probably still going to be messy. But that scenario, the reason I talked about it so often, folks, is because it made sense to me and still does. But having us go through another pandemic does not. Now, if it turns out that I'm wrong at the end of the day, that there are other things at play here, which I'm sure there are, that would change my understanding, okay, fine. I'm willing to admit that. But based upon what I know and based upon the experiences that we've all lived through, well, I have some serious doubts that that type of an approach is going to work, that it's really going to bear the fruit that we want it to, that at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it, and that it's actually going to awaken all these people that didn't get it the first time, and that still seem to be locked inside of this same ideology. So my hope moving forward, and my message ultimately, folks, to everyone out there, to hopefully embolden the audience to become more vocal, because I do believe that they are listening to us. I'm not suggesting they're listening to me or this show specifically, but they certainly are listening to us. And they're always telling us that we need the American people to show up, to step up, to do more. And I think that this is something that all of us can do. And I also think that hopefully people will agree with me that we need to abandon this idea that being critical and asking questions and voicing discontent is some indicator that you're not a patriot, that you're a bad person, that you're controlled opposition or something like that, or you're a plant or a troll. I mean, folks, if you're coming from a good place and you're respectful about it, criticism is one of the most patriotic things that you can do. And I think that a lot of us have allowed ourselves to get lulled into this sense of security where we just don't question the information that we're being told, that we're being given enough. Doesn't mean that we don't have trust and faith in the sources. But I think that we have to start demanding as one people, as a collective, more transparency from the White Hats. But incredible, incredible things are happening, folks. Just as I was recording, it came out, breaking news. The House committee investigating January 6th will issue criminal referrals to the DOJ for Trump and his allies. What have we been talking about? A potential Trump arrest. The group made its recommendations privately on Friday. And then it goes on to say, among the potential charges they have considered our conspiracy to defraud the United States. Well, that's interesting. That's the same thing that they're investigating fake Biden for. And obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress. So it looks like this situation is heating up, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. It's about to get wild. All right, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please leave a like if you did. Make sure to check out the links in the description. You can follow me on Telegram and also on Truth Social. Also, click the link in the description to patreon.com. You can make a monthly pledge and help support me and my goal to become a full-time podcaster, hopefully someday. Thank you to all of the people out there who have been so generous and so amazing for this entire journey. You have made all the difference. And for all the people out there who have supported me, even if it's just with a simple, kind word, you folks have no idea how important that is. You have no idea the difference that it makes. You have no idea the way that it feeds my passion and makes me want to continue to do this for you. So thank you, everybody. And one last thing before I sign off, I just want to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com, the best company for all of your household and your personal products, the products that you need to keep your life going, that you're going to buy from the big box conglomerates, from all the places that take your money and filter it into nefarious causes. Folks, we are at war, and we need to reallocate our financial resources in any way that we can. Patriot Switch gives you an opportunity to not only get amazing, high-quality, non-toxic products made here in the United States, but to shop with a company that gives you the option of reallocating all of your hard-earned money toward causes that you support. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. God bless everybody and Godspeed. I'll be back soon. Patriot out.